97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Well, I've compiled a good selection of audio with the help of our new producer, Ethan Hannaford, of the SNL bit from the other night with former cast members doing a lot better than current cast members, playing Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And also, yeah. I mean, Andy Samberg as Doug Emhoff was just epic. It really was. So that will be featured in Audio Cut of the Day coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Right now, this guy's going to spend a lot of time with us on election night in 3 weeks. Former State Senator John Lamping, a Reardon Roundtable veteran, with us this afternoon, talk a little politics, some local politics as well. John, how are you this afternoon?
I couldn't be better, Mark. What a beautiful Monday, huh?
It is absolutely gorgeous. You see the picture of my daughter's deer over the weekend?
I did. Congratulations.
Yeah, she did pretty well. Now, as I told the audience, I shared this earlier, her we can only shoot does this weekend. It was like a special doe season. And Friday afternoon, she had a big buck just staring us down for like 8 minutes. So she had to pay her dues, John, but that's all part of deer hunting, right?
That's right. That's cool. Congratulations. I know that she's put a lot of effort into it, and it's exciting that she's successful so early in life. She's certainly hooked for life.
Absolutely, and I'm excited. I tried to get my boys hooked and didn't work with them, but she's been driving this one completely. Let's talk some politics. I want to get to the presidential scene in just a moment, but there is a state Senate race that I'd like to focus in on here in the next couple of weeks because it's a pretty important one. It's former State Rep David Gregory against Democrat Joe Pereles, and that's the 15th district seat that was held, John, by Andrew Koenig, right? But he term limited out.
That's right. It's really interesting. During this cycle here in Missouri, you know, there's obviously we have Amendment 3 in the ballot, and, you know, everyone's kind of angling for how is Amendment 3 going to change the trajectory of some race out there. And it's this district, Senate District 15, ground zero is kind of Chesterfield. I think this is the one that's going to have the greatest impact. The Amendment 3 is going to have the greatest impact on. And, you know, for us, I used to live in St. Louis County, long lifetime Republican, and this is really the last state Senate seat that could be primarily in St. Louis County. So it's shaping up to be quite a barn burner.
So this is, you mentioned abortion. That's a big part of this. This Pereles guy, and I don't know him at all, he's hammering Gregory in ads. There's a lot of PAC money that's coming in. They are claiming that he wrote the state's current abortion ban, and the campaign has fired back. Look, they want these TV stations to stop playing that ad because they think it's deceptive and untrue. What would you say to that?
Well, I think it's kind of fair game in the 21st century. I mean, most of the television campaigns or ads are outright lies. So this one's close enough to where it's not coming down, that's for sure. So what's interesting here is the candidate, Joe Pereles, is a very good candidate. So what happens in every state Senate cycle, if possible, the Democrats try to find a great candidate, and then the Republicans try to find a seat that really should be Democrat, that they, if they put enough money into it, can keep it. And that's a little bit like this time around, where David Gregory is a very good candidate, but he was in the House long enough and he aspired to be a statewide candidate, that he really worked hard on lots of issues that are good for statewide Missouri, but not necessarily so good for suburban St. Louis. You know, Joe Pereles is an accomplished business executive who worked for the Drury Corporation. The Drury family is a very big donor to conservative causes. I don't know where they are in this race. And so this will be the marquee race. This will be where both sides will probably spend over $1 million. And there's even a more special significance. So Missouri Senate is 34 seats. And so if you hold 24 of the 34, you have a supermajority in the Senate. And so just to put it in context, in 2010, when I took office, I was the 26th senator, 26-8. Well, we're down to 24-10, and the district in Columbia, Caleb Rowden's district, will be going to Stephen Weber, a Democrat. And if the Democrats can win this 15th district, then the Republicans in the Senate will not have a supermajority. So it's really significant in Jeff City levels. And then I do think that this is the one race that Amendment 3 is going to play out. You know, as much as Ray Hartman would like to knock off Ann Wagner on the issue, this one's going to have an impact.
I think it might also, and then, you know, you've done a great job here of painting the landscape and how that could potentially, you know, change if this one, and I didn't know that, so Caleb's seat, that's pretty much a done deal. Did the not a worthy Republican emerge from that primary?
No, Stephen Weber is a very formidable political person. Rowden was able to beat him 8 years ago when I think we spent $2.2 million. And, you know, Rowden, was a very moderate senator. So it's not like he propped up the conservative side of that district. And Stephen Weber is going to cruise to a very easy victory there. There's a Democrat held seat in Kansas City that there's a chance Republicans could take it. The Republicans have a very good night. It's currently held by a Democrat. It's more the moderate seat. But really, the marquee state Senate race is right here in the 15th. And think about this, Mark. Like, this is, Jane Cunningham had this seat. John Loudon had this seat. Eric Schmidt had part of the seat. You know, you always had the more often than not, you had the most conservative,
right?
A Republican in the county because it was such an overwhelmingly Republican seat. Last time around, when Koenig won it 8 years ago, the district basically lost to Trump. I think Trump barely cleared it, and Koenig was a great ground guy. But this time around, they've got a good candidate and they've got good issues.
Well,
and like I said, the fact that David set himself up to run statewide, not to run suburban St. Louis County.
But what I hear from you here, just kind of, you know, listening through the tea leaves here, is that it sounds like Gregory's in trouble here.
Well, I think for me, like, you know, we're going to do election coverage that night, and I think this is kind of canary in the coal mine. I think if we watch this state Senate seat, we'll get a lot of indications about how well Amendment 3 is or isn't doing. My understanding with Amendment 3 is that everyone in St. Louis County is all jazzed up about it, but the rest of the state, including the blue areas, are not so much so. So it may be that Amendment 3 somehow does not win, but I think that's the seat, you know, as the night goes on that night, I'll be watching the vote count in that district as a way, not just for the race itself, but maybe an indicator of how overwhelmingly Amendment 3 is passing in St. Louis County.
Absolutely. And John, I'm glad you just mentioned that. He's going to spend some time with me, quality time on election night as we do our coverage here in a few weeks. So let me kind of move to the national election right now. You and I have talked throughout this campaign. We get to this period, as I've sort of described last week in August, where things weren't seemingly going very well for Trump. Look, the media was all in on Harris after Biden gets out. She has the convention. You know, it's the rah-rah. You know, all that stuff lasts until about mid-September, and then things start to turn because people start to get to know the Democrats in this ticket. And, you know, I think things have swung in a really positive direction for Trump. Carl Cannon said something when he was with me last Thursday that certainly resonated. And John, you would remember this certainly from, you know, 2016. Trump had some stumbles even in 2016 in September, but he closed extremely strong. And that seemingly is what's happening right now.
Yeah, I checked my calendar. You and I spoke on October 3rd. It was a few days after the VP debate. And I think that was the first time where both of us, and I certainly felt that the tide had turned, that it felt like things were moving back towards Trump. And I think, you know, that's 11 days ago. And I think every day since then, not only has Trump gotten better and stronger and disciplined, I don't think we've seen a candidate implode the way she's imploding. It seems like every day there's the new clip. I mean, if you've seen the clip about her and condemning Columbus Day, and then this Christopher Rufo article about her plagiarizing a book she co-wrote in 2009, it's like every day that every time she does an interview, people get to know her that much more. And you know, my understanding is in generic ballots, the first time in over 20 years, Republicans are ahead of Democrats all across the country. So I can't wait. You know, we're coming up, but 3 weeks from tomorrow, and I think all indications seem to think that it's going to be one of two things, either a very good night or a historically good night.
So, you know, the Wall Street Journal, I mentioned this earlier in the show, the Wall Street Journal did a piece over the weekend about the gender issue and the sports issue with biological men competing against women in particular. This is something, obviously, Trump's been talking about, J.D. Vance, a lot of us have been talking about it for a long time. I've been frustrated, John, that this is not part of a debate, that the moderators are too afraid to ask that question because they know where the majority of the American people are. But I can't help but think, and I saw a lot of ads. Look, Harris has been running a lot of polished ads. I mentioned that, but I saw these gender ads over the weekend when I'm watching college football and NFL, and they're going to resonate with people. They're going to resonate with middle of the road voters for sure.
Yeah, and I think it's you don't even need ads to have it resonate. I think that men know the Democratic Party is more interested in dudes that want to become women than dudes that want to be dudes. I think I'm quoting what's his name from CNN. Who comes on your show,
Jennings? Jennings.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's too late. I think that the Democrat, and look, let's just be honest, the Democratic Party really isn't interested in white men at all, and then they're interested in black men when it comes time for elections. For election time, and it's too late. They can't turn it around. I guess if you send Tim Walz out, you know, have him do a little bit more hunting. And just think about it. Your daughter can hunt circles around Tim Walz.
Oh my God, she already can, and she's only 9 and a half. You know, I by the way, did you see? I'm going to play some of this here for audio cut of the day. But did you see Saturday Night Live on Saturday with Dana Carvey and Jim Gaffigan and Maya Rudolph again? Because look, they're pretty damn funny. Now, when they try to impersonate Trump and Vance, it falls flat. But the mocking of the president and this ticket has been very effective. Finally, it only took them 6 years to get there, but it was really funny.
I think about it. It's just 3 weeks ago when they first came on, they had Dana Carvey come back on and do Joe Biden. And think about it. It took 3.5 years, all the material, all the laughs that could have been had. And they've done more in 3 weeks than they did in 3.5 years.
There is no doubt.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Lorne Michaels should be ashamed of themselves for letting go. There was so much great material there, and they didn't touch it because they thought that they had to be, I don't know, they didn't want to give Trump a window to come back into the scene, and they failed on that front as well. By the way, John, here's another bit of history I heard earlier that you probably know, and I haven't really given much thought to it, but maybe this does have an effect. It's been since Martin Van Buren, outside of George Herbert Walker Bush, when a vice president has won the White House. Now, that's rather stunning, isn't it? Obviously, Gerald Ford gets there from, a different reason. But, with a vice president in an administration that's not popular, hard for me to believe that she can win this thing.
Well, she's not going to win this thing unless somebody does something really egregious with respect to, ballot integrity. It's not surprising. We're a country of change. The way a constitutional republic works, the way it works in practice is you kind of go back and forth and you go to the right a little bit, to the left a little bit, you find compromise. And, after 4 or 8 years of one approach to governing, the country is usually ready to see what the other side has to say, what might be their opportunity. And secondly, to sit around for 4 or 8 years as a vice president waiting for the opportunity to run for president, it's just not a very good thing to be doing. It doesn't create a lot of momentum going forward. I'd be curious to see if Trump and Vance are only there for 4 years, if J.D. doesn't assert himself more specifically into the administration, take on a role that he wouldn't otherwise take on. But having said that, think about all the young men and women that will be available to run for office in 4 year time. So maybe J.D. will break the mold. She's not going to do it. I mean, think about this, Mark. I was going back and forth with our friend Jane today. Kamala Harris she's never been voted for. No one's ever voted for Kamala.
Yeah.
In the primaries in 2024. So Jane will finally have a chance to vote for Kamala. I'm sure she's been waiting all these years to do it. But anyway, she's...
Believe me, they're not that excited. They just hate Trump. All right, Lampy, great to talk with you. Have a great week. We'll talk. Enjoy that weather, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds great. Take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.